Hello, welcome to Spotlight, beaming out artistic warmth around the island.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we enjoy a chat with the ever-lovely singer extraordinaire, Christine Collister, about her latest project, which mixes music, art and folklore. Hear about the wonderful Gaia installation at St Thomas's Church in Douglas, from those involved in its setup. Talk to garden designer and herbal ambassador, Jane Prescott, about her research for her forthcoming book. And it's upon us once more. The Guild starts this weekend, with not so much very small classes, but classes for the very small. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in, planning, hoping to create or would really like to put in that spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, drag, film, mime, social media, all the others. Email spotlight@manxradio.com, howardcain@manxradio.com. Use either, use both, but do get in touch. The wonderful Christine Collister, who's been wowing audiences around the world with her splendid voice now for years, I believe. She's been based back on the Isle of Man of late and has just released her latest project, Children of the Sea, a beautiful thing which combines wonderful art, prose and Christine's songs, all in one package via a beautifully produced book and CD. There's also a forthcoming concert to promote it at the Peel Centenary Centre. I asked her if it was the culmination of a lockdown project.
Well, it was not conceived as such. It kind of developed. So I was encouraged by a couple of friends to apply for some funding with the Isle of Man Arts Council because of, you know, the shenanigans of the early 20s. I don't like to talk about it.
No, best not.
I had this idea to write some songs inspired by Manx folklore, because I'd already done a couple of songs in 2016, one with Lindsay Rowe, Goddess of Man, and one on my own, No One Knows His Name. I successfully recorded those with Daphne's Flight. And I just thought, well, that's a good wheeze, you know, using stories that are already written to come up with a song. It seemed like a great idea, but I never had the time to do it. And then 2020 came along, and I was looking after my mum in her lovely home in Kirkmichael. My husband and I were there basically with her for 3.5 years, and this kind of came up in 2021. The Arts Council very generously offered me some money, and then Culture Vannin offered me the rest to make a CD. So I was making a CD, which I've done many times before. But because of the circumstances, I ended up doing it all basically on my own with the computer and Logic Loops. And I got the money in place, and then I cogitated. And I cogitated to such a degree that 6 months later, the Arts Council got hold of me and said, are you still doing this project? I thought, God, I better do something. So then I frantically got myself together, and I was getting up at 6 a.m, walking the dog, then writing for an hour before I went for my dip. And that kind of got me started. And like I say, the music, I don't know, in my mind, I thought I'd have some friends around, we'd play a few chords, blah, blah, blah. But it just didn't work out like that at all. And like I say, I had this push of, oh, my goodness, I better do this. And the first song was the first song I wrote was Little Jenny Wren, which is inspired by a very well-known story here on the island called King of the Birds. And It just kind of coalesced, and I really enjoyed the process. I thought I'd start it on the computer and then again I'd get some real musicians in. But I really enjoyed the process. So I thought, well, I'll try another one. and so it went. And in the end, I had 9 songs. And then by the time I got them all together and I was satisfied with the way they sounded, I just thought they needed explanation more than a little tiny CD booklet could give them, especially as I was hoping in the future I'd be able to go and do a tour in the UK at least. that they wouldn't have any background to the stories at all. So I came up with the idea of doing the stories, having the lyrics in, writing a little bit about the Isle of Man and the process. And I thought it would be what a wonderful idea to have some artwork. And so I proposed this to the Isle of Man Art Centre again, and they very generously gave me some money towards that. So I was able to commission Nicola Dixon, who did three pieces for me. And also I was able to pay for the design of the book, which is quite a substantial outlay. And then I also had friends offer artwork, and I had lovely Amanda Barton, who no longer lives on the island but is from here. She gave me the illustration that is for Fenella Beach, which is a fabulous illustration of white horses, as you know, white horses. So yeah, I'm really thrilled with the way it's turned out, and quite unexpected. I, you know, people say, "Oh, you've written a book." Well, no, not really, not really written a book. But yeah, it came on the coattails of having created 9 songs.
And Ben, you've done some of the artwork yourself.
I have,
of course. Yeah,
that was not intentional. Again, my life is fairly accidental.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, indeed. So at the beginning of 2023, I decided, knowing that this artwork was needed to kind of come to fruition somehow, I gave myself the challenge of doing a piece of artwork every day for the year. And I could do the worst bit of art ever, and that would be okay, so long as I showed up and did something. And at the time, it also helped because I was sitting with my mum every night, because she needed company, even though she's not company, if you know what I mean. I mean, you know, dementia is a terrible thing. But you couldn't leave her, you know. So I would sit while the telly was on and I'd do a bit of art and I'd show her and, you know. So anyway, I came up with the idea for the front cover, and a very rudimentary version of what ended up on the front cover. And I sent it to David Suff, who produced the book and the music with me, with Fledgling Records. He himself is an exceptional artist, and one of his pieces is in there as well. In fact, Little Jenny Wren. And so I said, if I could execute this better, would this work as the cover? And he came back with a yes. No quibbles, no, you know, provisos. Yes. I thought, oh, shit, I better really hone this down. So for a month, I did just that design with the three mermaids and their tails intertwined in various combinations of stuff. And the one that actually ended up on the front cover is an unfinished one, because what I did, I filled in all the blanks, because I'm not an artist. I totally appreciate that. So I have no understanding of composition or any of those lovely things. And I'd done as much as I could one night, and I hadn't filled in the corners. And I came down and I saw it the next day and I thought, do you know what? That looks all right. So I sent that to David and he said, yes, that's the one. So there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
And very fine it is too. I think it's a lovely piece on the front. Love it. Love the colours. Love the design. The sort of three legs there in the middle, which you sort of see out with that lovely nautical theme. It is Children of the Sea, and there's a clue there in the name. And you've also hinted yourself, you know, you're one of the many sea dippers on the Isle of Man. Have you always felt that attraction, that sort of being drawn to the sea we're surrounded by here on the island? Has it always meant a lot to you?
Well, certainly as a kid, I was in the sea all the time. And then Jaws happened. I'm never ever going to get in the sea again. Maybe not quite, but it did have an effect on many, many people. I mean, I love that movie. I think it's amazing. But as a young person, it definitely put me off getting in the sea. Even though we haven't got. We've got basking shows.
You'd be safe with those.
Yeah. So I did, but then as a grown up, so to speak, I hardly ever got in the sea. And my husband and I were travelling regularly to Australia for the last 10 years or so. Bob's daughter and our grandkids live in Sydney, and then I would do gigs while I was there with a lovely guitar player I know from Australia, Michael Fix, and I never got in the sea, like never. And I would think people were absolutely crazy getting in the water here in the summer because it's cold, right? And then all that shenanigans happened, and I thought, as a snub to being told what I could and couldn't do, I'm going to get in the sea.
You will be basically performing the music from this at the Peel Centenary Centre on the 27th.
Yes, I'm really excited about it. I'm also a bit scared because the book is a new venture, and so is the presentation of the music, because it's not acoustic music. And no doubt somebody very clever could show me how to play some of these songs on the guitar. At the moment, what I'd really like to do is to show them off in their full glory, in the way that they were kind of conceived. And so I'm going to be using the tracks that I created to sing to in the first half. So the first half is all Children of the Sea, and I've just finished creating, editing videos to go with each of them, because I wanted to show off the artwork as well. And then that's kind of turned into artwork in a video. and we did a bit of a run through at the Centenary Centre last week. And whilst everything worked really well, I wasn't really as happy with the video as I would have liked. I want it to be sharper. So we might be getting a slightly different projector than the one I've got. I've got a domestic one, right, thinking that would work. And whilst it's really great to watch a big movie on your wall in the house, it didn't really come across the way I wanted it to. But however, I'm really excited because I hope people enjoy the kind of multifaceted nature of the first half anyway. And also on that night, I've invited the artists that are on the island to be there with their artwork in the bar room next door.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I mean, I just think it's a really rich kind of experience. And then second half, there will be a second half, and I'm going to sing some songs from my 40-year career, Howard. I say that, I have to take a deep breath every time I say it,
But you did start when you were one.
Oh, that's right. Oh, darling. Flattery will get you everywhere. No.
Terrific. Peel Centenary Centre. Tickets available online. I take it from the PCC.
From Celtic Gold and Omar in Ramsey.
And will there be people there be able to buy the book
on the night? Yes, they will. Very well remembered, Howard. Yeah, I'll be selling the book at a special price for the launch show.
There is no light like the first kiss of morning on the sea. There is no higher delight than the waves that set me free.
The book is beautifully done, the art is lovely, the music is gorgeous. New and old fans of Christine's work will love it, and I'm sure she'll happily sign your book at the concert as well. If you ask, check it out.
Like my heart when it pounds with the rhythm of the waves. In the cold crystal water, I'm born over again.
Now, have you been to see Gaia yet? The incredible installation at St Thomas's Church, which sees an enormous internally illuminated globe, apparently gently rotating, above the central aisle. Measuring 6 metres in diameter, Gaia is 2.1 million times smaller than the real Earth, I'm told. It's been recreated from 120 dpi detailed NASA imagery of the Earth's surface. Each centimetre of the sculpture represents 21 kilometres of the real planet. A specially made surround sound composition by BAFTA award-winning composer Dan Jones is played alongside the sculpture. Judith Lay spoke to Justin McMillan from ELS, who organised scaffolding, etc. for the installation, and Ben Osborne, who travelled over with Gaia, representing the artist Luke Jerram, to supervise the installation and who goes around the real globe with the Gaia globe.
I work on behalf of Luke, so I do the installations, but I didn't work on the creation. The artwork itself is created by a Bristol company. It's Luke's idea, and he's also a Bristol-based company.
Now, Gaia has been in other places. It started its life in the Anglican Cathedral in Liverpool and has been in different places. I would guess, Ben, that every place brings a unique challenge.
Yes, it certainly does. It's been all over the world and many different locations, indoors and outdoors. And so, yeah, there's a different different challenges everywhere you go.
So really, until you get it into the building, you can't really fine-tune it till then, can you?
No, that's why it's great to have people like Justin on the location, because he obviously got a great idea of how things are installed, and it's made my job very easy arriving to such a professional delivery.
This has been one of those challenges that we've spent a number of months looking at this and how to do it.
Here in St Thomas's, the benches are still in the church.
They are, that's right. The pews are still here. They're fixed and not movable, which was one of the first challenges, actually, Judith, that we had to overcome, was how do we get the installation up? And we're talking a good, 15 to 17 metres up in the air. There's not really a lot of things on the island that can reach that height where we can get them inside this space. We looked at hoists. We looked at the largest set of ladders, whether they were up on a platform, and trying to conform to all the health and safety protocols that you have to these days, that became a real big challenge for us. How do we get this rigged up there where we can get access to the motor points, etc., that we need for it? So first challenge to overcome was the pews. Scaffold it was the answer in the end. A giant scaffold, what they call a bird cage, was built. And if you'd have come in the other day here, it was phenomenal seeing the lads from Red Scaffolding. They did a great job, didn't they, Ben? Absolutely fantastic team of lads. They put a scaffold up for us right to the point where we needed to get to. So we were working sort of 16 meters up in the air on top of the scaffold platform, putting in all the rigging equipment and the strops. And it's been fantastic. So challenge overcome.
A great team effort here. Jade and her gang from Net Zero have been fantastic to deal with. They've done a wonderful job of getting this in, and it has been a challenge. And also Orsted sponsors who've got themselves behind this and helped support the whole project. I think it's imperative that we mention those, and I don't know who all the other sponsors are. Without people like that getting behind these projects, you'll never be able to pull them off.
You're absolutely right. Sponsorship has been key to this, and Net Zero and Orsted are massively concerned with the protection of the planet.
Right,
and sometimes you have to do big things.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. And also the people here at St Thomas's, Liz and Mike, that are working away in the background as we speak, they've done an amazing job. And it's a beautiful church. It'd be easy to live on this island, I imagine, not know how beautiful it is in here. The paint is incredible.
As you can see, as we're stood underneath it right now, it's rotating at the speed of the earth would do. It's beautiful, isn't it?
And you've got this wonderfully atmospheric soundtrack that has been created specially for it. Draws you into another world, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's a 29-minute soundscape to accompany the art piece, and it gives a really good frame. So if you arrive and give yourself enough time to listen to the whole soundtrack, it gives you the moments to de-stress, to forget about what messages you're receiving or what you're having for tea, to get into the atmosphere of the art piece.
It's an amazing thing. Don't miss your chance to see it. There are also concerts being performed under the globe, though they've been selling fast. The Mines Ashanti gig this Friday has sold out, though I believe another 50 tickets have been released. So you might be lucky if you pitch up on the night.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, garden designer and landscape architect Jane Prescott may be known to some listeners as the Manx herbalist, running courses and workshops to spread her deep and passionate knowledge of the therapeutic botanicals that are all around us, whether in our gardens or out on the hedgerows. She completed her diploma in herbology, the study of therapeutic botanicals, at the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh in 2018. And one of her latest long-term projects is a book linking plants, their medicinal qualities and the history and folklore associated with them. Still work in progress, and Jane's looking for some input, perhaps from Manx residents who might have stories to impart. She called by to tell me more.
I would never have ever thought that I would ever think about writing a book. And again, it's just really grown out of the course. I've always been passionate about the island. And during my course, all the modules that we had, wherever it was appropriate, I focused on the island as a theme. So, for instance, one of the things we had to do was to put together a herbarium, so a set of pressed plants, and we had to have a theme for it. So my theme was the habitats of the Isle of Man. So I chose a medicinal herb from each of the habitats and presented that and gave the information about it. And I think that really sparked off an interest in just the island as a whole and its landscapes and its habitats and the plants that live in it. And I think just as time has gone on and I've got further into the folklore, I did a fantastic set of workshops with poet and photographer Janet Lees, which melded creative writing with medicinal herbs, but also herbs that had a particular significance on the island. And I think it really was the idea for the book came out of those those parts of it. And then my dissertation for my course brought in the biosphere and whether that model for sustainable development, we could think about a new way of approaching our landscape and our habitats, but thinking about our health as well. And so the book really has developed out of that, sort of bringing it all together. And yes, The Healing Tapestry is still... it's still the title for it.
It is a good title, I must admit. And it's, you're right, there is this fascination, isn't there, where a lot of plants which have been used traditionally in herbal medicine had that link with sort of folklore and stories as well. And while some of them might have disappeared into the mist of time or some of their uses, a lot of them are still knocking around today. The plants are all still around here. Maybe that sort of knowledge is something which has been lost over the centuries, but of course, you know, if you look into it, an awful lot of the medicine that we get off our, out of our medicine cupboards every day are based on plants, of course.
I always say, if anybody doubts how effective plants can be for treating people, most people would know that yew and foxglove are poisonous, and if you eat them, you won't be around for much longer.
Not for long, no.
But they both have drugs derived from them, and they have been used medicinally, so used in the right way and in appropriate doses. But yes, and it's relatively recently that we've turned away from plants for our healing, and plants have an effect on us. We've evolved with them.
So you're actually looking to maybe get any memories from people on the Isle of Man who, rather like we've been suggesting here, might perhaps, maybe, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 70 years ago, might have used herbs more in their daily life to treat maybe little ailments, coughs, colds, headaches, scratches and such like, and any of those herbal remedies people might have forgotten.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really part of the purpose of my book, is the research. There has been research done or records made of plants that have been used in the past. There's quite a lot of information in the Manx Museum, but as I mentioned before, there's this project called Remembered Remedies, and that is trying to find people that have those memories of their parents or grandparents using plants for those simple ailments, or they might have some old recipe books somewhere. So if anybody would like to get in touch, I would just like to capture some of those memories. It's not a case of testing knowledge. It's literally capturing those memories and that information before it's lost, because I think it's so important going forward that we take this information and we can see how we can use it going forward. And I'd love, if there is anybody out there that would like to talk to me, then I'd really welcome that.
And what would be the best way to get in contact?
Either by email. I have a website, The Manx Herbalist. That's the name for my little business where I teach about herbs. So either through The Manx Herbalist or my email, which is on there, or my mobile number, which is on there as well. So please get in touch.
So if you've got any stories about using herbal remedies that might go back in the family or back to the mists of time, or you still use, and you'd like to give Jane a shout to tell her more, go to the website, The Manx Herbalist. That's themanxherbalist.com, and you'll find all the contact details. She'll be delighted to hear from you. Finally this evening, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks, but it's finally here, just about. The Manx Music Speech and Dance Festival 2024 gets underway this weekend. And Guildchair Anne Clark told Christy De Haven on 1-3 there will be classes to attract a new generation of Guild performers this year.
Little stars. I mean, you think the 8 is young, but this is for reception ages.
Yes, it's to give them a taste of the Guild. It's not competitive. There won't be a winner. They can just get up there and dance or sing or say a poem, do whatever they want, and they won't be judged, but they will just get a bit of encouragement.
Oh, what an opportunity to have that at such a young age. And that will probably take the sort of edge of fear off, because it can be quite a nerve-wracking experience, can't it?
Well, yes, it's an awful feeling walking onto the Royal stage.
Not that we're trying to discourage you, obviously.
No.
And people don't get discouraged, because they come back year after year, don't they?
They do. We have introduced a few new classes which haven't altogether taken off, but the traditional ones go on and on. So I think we've got the recipe right.
You've got to start somewhere, as they say. What a great idea. Break a leg to everyone who's taking part this year. Full coverage available here on Manx Radio, of course. Roundup programmes every evening at 9 p.m. with the aforementioned wonderful Mrs. Guild, Judith Lay. That's about it this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to manxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it whilst starting your Christmas shopping extra early? See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.